blew, the wind was still, the moon was shining clearly. I set her down with a right goodwill among the eggs of barley. I kenned her heart was all my own, I loved her most sincerely. I kissed her o'er and o'er again among the rigs of barley. Corn rigs and barley rigs and corn rigs are bonny. I'll not forget that happy night among
So welcome to Fireside. Those of you who've visited before, you know sort of what we do. I'm Joshua Ward. Josh or Joshua, really doesn't matter. This night is essentially, how would I describe it? Okay, the show is a special sauce with notes of salt, saccharin, sorrow and smiles, plated up alongside whatever you're drinking and served by a troubadouric team of singers, players and spoken word poets. But enough of obviously scripted stuff. I think... because spring may be coming, and with that in mind, I'm going to put a few poems and songs today that linger on to the winter. It's our last chance to play them. So with that in mind, I think Jo Bell, with her wonderful poem, The Icicle Garden, is what you're going to hear right now.
The Icicle Garden. You give me this. Your snow and blackthorn heartland with its backdoor heron in the gill. Your childhood stream that meets a river further on. The water races down, as cold as Herod, runs full tilt till rapids break in little raptures on the rock. Every moss-wet hollow's strung with icicles, a glassy crop as slippery as elvers on their first lap home. You lean into the clough and gather them, wet shoots and spikes, invisible asparagus that gives a snow pea snap with every pick. And bunching them together, hand them into my black glove, a posy of cold flowers in colours too clear to name. A wild bouquet. I take your gift and take you in, offering up a frozen sliver to your softened mouth. You split one from the bunch and show me how to tease a summer out of ice. Leave the bundle thawing in the tumbler by the bed.
She is just so sonorous. I have a lot to thank Alabaster de Plume for in this episode, because he's introduced me to some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. Ben Meller and Dan Steele. Ben Meller is a fantastic poet that I've been introduced to, and Dan Steele is his sound designer. I'm going to play you some stuff now. Just relax into it, because if you've got headphones or any fantastic speakers to play around with, do, because this is just a joy. This is Peak Love.
Held hands in the dark, flicker lit by the LED screen, as the people on the TV chanted the end of the energy crisis, a dual solution of nuclear fusion and hydrogen fuel cells, and the reversal of global warming. Geo-engineered magic spells absorbing atmospheric carbon and forming clouds to reflect the rays of the sun. It seemed that we had won. Our dominion over nature was complete. Replete with all the energy we needed, we would no more go to war for finite fossil fuels. Our planes, trains, buses, and cars would run on fields of sugarcane and corn. And though that meant that some would starve, and the rest of our meat would be carved in laboratories, no one remembered Soylent Green. And soon we grew used to the taste of petri dish pork and test tube beans, forgot there was ever a real thing to compare to the synthesized. This was utopia, realized. But then, production of something we'd always assumed to be abundant peaked and started to decline. And this time, there was no techno fix, no grubby get-rich-quick market solution. Not that that stopped the corporations from trying, from buying up remaining reserves and offering people what they thought they deserved. A third off Hucks. Buy one smile, get one free. Three tender caresses for the price of two. Soon, love became a luxury most could not afford. So they substituted ersatz stand-ins like cordiality, pleasantness, and tolerance. Bored relatives fixed rictus grin through organized quality time leisure activities, like those manufactured families on archaic ads for Nintendo Wii, BT. Meanwhile, in plastic retail wastelands, behind malls and multiplexes, teenagers fingered and fucked with expressionless faces, texting ironic emoticons to their mates. Apathetic face. Lol. No longer capable of heartbreak, they swap partners like football stickers and casually call the abortion clinic if they were late. People slowly stop going on dates, just search for local libidos with smartphone apps, and paps no longer bother taking snaps of cheating celebrities because adultery ceased to be taboo. Just became something people like to do, like stamp collecting or buying shoes. You and I too began to feel the bite of scarcity, but we were dependent then and scared to be added to statistics of elderly couples frozen to death for want of warmth in this endless winter of indifference. We went looking for love in dangerous places, drilled in deep ocean beds, vulnerable to seismic shifts which fractured, spilling out toxins, endangering sea life. We injected chemicals into seams where love once lived abundant, ejecting its remnants, causing subsidence, contaminating water supplies. We remove mountaintops, sifting sand for love's residue, its gritty, bitter bitumen. But for every mill of love we gained, we spent another two. And soon, we were bankrupt, bust. Our economy collapsed. There were no banks to bail us out, for without love or trust or faith, confidence is consumed. And as if to prove this point, we couldn't even care about all that's out of joint and fallen apart. So now I hold your cold dead hand, stare into your wide blank eyes, fondness absent from my heart, and I can't remember how to cry. So now I hold your cold dead hand, stare into your wide blank eyes, fondness absent from my heart, and I can't remember how to cry.
It's a little bleak, isn't it? Beautiful. Beautiful but bleak.
The next poet is far more of a ray of sunshine in many ways. He's a Zen Buddhist, a dad, a black belt in swordy stuff, Kentucky's best ambassador. It's Jeremy Toombs. Definitely check out Jeremy Toombs' new poetry book at the moment, 10,000 Things. I've got a copy. It's absolutely brilliant. But the first thing I'm going to show you is not a poem of his. He did a lot of travelling, and he sent me in this recording. And the quality is not great. It's more just a sort of a video diary sort of thing. Well, a recorded diary. Well done, Josh. A vlog. Lauren is helping me out here. But it's fantastic. It just paints a picture. So I hope you can see it as well as I do when I listen to it. There's going to be lots of monkeys.
I'm up on top of this rock that overlooks like all of Hampi. And it's probably the second highest mound of rocks here. The highest having the temple on top. There's about a present count. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. There's 35 monkeys I can see. That didn't count the ones on the other sides of rocks that I can't see. Make it 36, 37. There's all in the tree. The tree don't stop moving. There's 38. There's like there's probably 100 monkeys up there if I could see them all. And I'm pretty close to them. Like I'm just like 20 yards away from your man here. And this whole group of what I think are the biggest monkeys here. And what's amazing, the two kinds of monkeys. There's two kinds. There's the black faced ones. They had the long, gracious, beautiful tails, really black faces and palms. All their skin, per se, is black. They have a beautiful gray, white fur. The older males having orange bellies. There's a really cute little baby of the white ones. It's fucking cool, man. He's just hopping around everywhere. Now, what's really interesting is there's also appeared a normal brown skin kind of monkeys I've seen a lot of in India. And these guys go and pick the ticks off of the other monkeys. See, two species of monkeys working together. Living together up here on this rock top. Rock top monkeys. Maybe the orange belly ones are women because that one's got some sagging tits. Anyway, I saw two of the brown monkeys having the loving. And one of them was on four legs. The female was on four legs and the male was on top of her with his hind feet on the backs of her hind legs, like her what you would call that joint. It's her knees, her back knees on the back of them, balanced there, hands on her hips, going to town. It was fascinating. And it's such a beautiful fucking view I have. Unbelievable. This is The vibe up here is just magical. All these monkeys. They're just chilling with me right here in the middle of them. I don't want to walk into the thick of them. I want that view that they have from that other side, but there's too many babies for me to get too close to them. There's lots of babies. Lots of little monkeys. There's one that has all black fur. These brown-faced monkeys are a little more curious. They're coming nearer to me. I don't want to get too near. They can jump on me and give me rabies or some shit. I'm going to sign off now. He's a little too curious. Peace.
Okay then, Mr. Toombs. How about a poem?
An early morning exodus on the Alipay Express to earn a column In the 7 a.m. orange orb sun turns to dawn gray to pink as the train picks up speed, gradually. It's not over the treetops yet, the sun. The last one of 2007 to shine on this earth with its 72,000 channels of solar energy feeding the 72,000 energy channels of this muscle and blood, flesh and bone, mind and spirit of human existence, which is nothing more than the same existence as a tree or a rock, which is also the same thing as the culmination of the thousands of moments, one moment of the existence of reality. I seek to find and lose myself at this moment in meditation as my physical composition loses its edges and the individual particles and waves of me are set free to flow to the highest level of Earth's atmosphere and even beyond, to Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Andromeda, Tatooine, and then solidifying once again in the thousandth incarnation of spirit, this time as a Jawa, roaming throughout the desert in a massive sandcrawler, scouring for droids to steal, buy, barter, sell, destroy, and repair. Turning circuits and microchips and data processors and programs into semi-conscious beings of metal and electricity with reasoning ability and some able to translate even the arcane language of moisture evaporators as well as 66,000 other forms of communication, both organic and inorganic. It's these non-human mechanics of the mind that keep us bound to time. Trying to keep up keeps us out of line. And searching, searching too hard makes our true peace too hard, hard to find. That's why I'm riding this Alipi Express to a destination, pulling into the station. Where are we? It's these non-human mechanics of the mind that keep us bound to time. Trying to keep up keeps us out of line. And searching, searching too hard makes our peace too hard, hard to find. That's why I'm riding this Alipi Express to a destination, pulling into the station. Where are we? I can't find the sign.
Now, I know what you're thinking. This poetry spoken word malarkey said in the now, drawing truce up from the soil to flower. It's all very well, but where's the antiquarian folk with trilly tales of minor battles? You've done very, very well to ask. Niamh Dunn here, with Ballyneety's Walls.
Dreaming that we would be there too, as we roll.
Well, it's always hard to follow music with poetry, because you've got a beat going. It's the gyroscopic, you know, effect of a rhythm. But if there's any words to stone that theory down, I think they belong to Scott Devon, who is another man I've been introduced to this week. He is absolutely fantastic. I will tell you more about him later, but for now, I'm sure you'll find him quite, and here's a word he taught me, copacetic.
Copacetic. Tottenham, August 7th, 2011. And so the hours do circle themselves away. See how this morning drains dry the day. A single city plucked in a single night. Such is the breath of rage. And I, like a prison replete with shame, now do love these gentle drops of perfect pain. Still, you'd call me saint if victory go our way. But what love when the fight itself is ecstasy, to find your freedom in the madness of the mad. For that I would ever be the son of purest rage, and burn my days away in mushroom dust. So I will now hang sickle pips upon my soul and dig a foxhole in my frontal lobe to keep at bay the bane of common sense made common by imagined memory. Is not all the world watered on a mirage? As free men spend their days digging hourglass graves, asking worms what the dead do say. But what other path is proffered except to stumble into wrinkled graves and ancient age until you cry? Will no one say release? Will no man feather up my wings and give me peace? Will none now say amen? And bless this body with a lack of breath. So let this city birth forth its foolish. Let them harvest grains of goodness to make their beggars bread. I choose to wear the barbs of hope unblunted and leech my wounds away in salt-soaked drops. I hereby call forth purple ghosts to play upon my winter skin. So bring on the day. Bring on the social bear and the blistered sky. I'll feather up my fists. Come see them fly.
Pretty good. So I said I'd tell you more about this delightful man. Scott, he is an MA creative writing graduate from Manchester Met. He's been published most recently by the Origami Poetry Project, Step Away Magazine, Epicenter Magazine, Egg Poetry, Bareback, Chicago Literati, Matchbox Poems and Starburst Magazine. His poem Belief was independently selected to be translated and read on National Greek Radio. We can't top that. And he was selected to write in conjunction with the Royal Philharmonic Society in 2013. And he's got two micro chat books out, Tightrope, one of them, and The Book of Doubt. And they're both published by Origami Press. All this stuff, needless to say, I'd just like to remind everybody that, you know, after this show, give it a few days, obviously, and we'll put up all the bump on all the people here with a download button so you can download all of this show. But despite all that blurb, what really matters is the sound. So, Scott, let's have one more.
Hallucinating. Here we are, hallucinating God and the night, Pater Nostra, qui es in calis, only a circle is eternal, and I wonder who digs graves in heaven, Quetzalcoatl, Huichipochil, Apsu, Osiris, Atum, Eloa, Alaf, Hashalom, and Poseidon, oh great, great Poseidon, I love that film where the boat sinks. Gene Hackman dies, he talks about it afterwards, and no one in a crisis walks two by two. No one. Is heaven balanced on a grass blade, on a blade. Buddha just means one who's awake. In my dreams I speak to the universe, but it's asleep. So show me your dreams, I beg you. Paint violet hours across my nighttime mind. Where are the angel-headed hipsters now? Edwin Hubble, Hubble, toil and trouble. Here comes the full moon flood, all bubbles burst. Won't somebody please wake up the sky? The stars are dying.
Scott, please send in more. Do, if you're listening. It's absolutely fantastic. Just a reminder that you're listening to Burst, Bournemouth Internet Radio Station, and that it's awesome, and there will be maybe definitely swearing, and that I love you lots, so thanks for listening. Now, I want some Jeremy Toombs. Can this be arranged?
So this is called the Derby Garden Meadow Massacre. October 28th, 3 p.m., Derby Garden, Chapel Green Lane, Redland, Bristol. It's a sad day in the Derby Garden as a day full of sunshine has led to full-scale slaughter. Ferocious, uncaring metal-bladed machines mowed down the mad meadow, home to a little frog seen hopping away, crying, his home destroyed, done in. A disaster. And who's the master of this mayhem? Well, I did wield the mad mowing machine what masticated the meadow, but I was just doing what I was told. Is that an excuse? Will the grass forgive? I don't know. I'll take my money, get some hash or whiskey, and not think about the senseless slaughter of the hopping frog's home, not think about how dew is grass tears, or how the trees are watching, waiting for a chance to drop a branch on my head. No. I'll not think about it. Just give me my money, man. I'll buy some whiskey or hash or both and not think about it. Thank you.
Well done there, Mr. Toombs. More poetry in a minute from my bezzy, Steph Moe. And I hope you're excited for that. But let's stay a second with Americans in Britain. Because based off a 19th century air collected by Francis James Child, he had this collection called the Child Ballads, I'm going to play you Aeneas Mitchell and Jefferson Hamer, great names, with an old song called Geordie.
As I walked out over London Bridge on a misty morning early, I overheard a fair pretty maid crying for the life of a Geordie. Saddle me a milk-white steed, bridle me a pony, and I'll ride down to London town and I'll beg for the life of my Geordie. And when she came to the courthouse steps, the poor folks numbered many. 100 crowns she passed around, saying, pray for the life of my Geordie. He never stole a mule or a mare, he never murdered any. If he shot one of the king's wild deer, it was only to feed his family. And then she strolled through the marble halls before the judge and the jury. Down on a bended knee she falls, crying for the life of her Geordie. He never stole, he never slew, he never murdered any. He never injured any of you, spare me the life of my Geordie. Over his left shoulder, he says, I'm sorry for thee, my pretty fair maid, you've come too late, he's been condemned already. But 6 pretty babes I had by him, the 7th one lies in my body, and I would beg him all over again if you give me the life of my Geordie. You're just Geordie will hang from a silver chain, such as we don't hang many. And he'll be laid in a coffin brave for your six fine sons to carry. I wish I had you in the public square, the whole town gathered around me. With my broadsword and a pistol too, I'll fight you for the life of my Geordie.
Was Aeneas Mitchell and Jefferson Hamer with Geordie. Now comes the time of the evening. Every single week, what happens is Steph Moe writes a poem based on a title that someone has sent in. So this week, I think a gentleman called Al Cummins gave us a title, which I cannot even read out. It's far, far too long. Okay, I'll give it a go. Okay, this was the title that was handed in. A Rudimentary Diagram of the Human Uterus, 2014, Marmite Plasterboard. So Steph Moe went away, as is his job, his want, and his profession, and he made this wonderful poem. It's come out incredibly well. So make sure that by next week you have sent in a title for Steph, and I'll give you all the details on how to do that later. But first of all, here's the poem.
A Rudimentary Diagram of the Human Uterus, 2014, Marmite Plasterboard. His muse is crepuscular. She has a voice for Radio 4. Most nights she tolerates him. Sometimes her eyes drip hot jade poison, and he spins the loathing into art. His workshop is by the sea. Father pays the rent. Father has given up hoping for news of a proper job. At this point, he's just glad that the allegations turned out to be false.
Let the boy do what he wants, he grunts.
A standing order is so much easier than a conversation. Tonight's experiment gleams beneath unflattering studio lights, a gelatinous hump with the temporary title Adventures in Viscosity. He hummingbird perches on the rickety stepladder, the perfect cliché of the desperate genius in his grubby singlet and wine-stained pyjama trousers, running his fingers through his matted mistake of hair and pulling it out in tragic tufts when he spots the gaping floor. On Monday morning, Father receives a bill for tools and for a workman to repair the wrecked workroom, and also for a hat. A week later, the boy lies naked on his back, preparing to inject a rare but non-fatal tropical disease into a randomly determined area of his person. With a theatrical roll of her eyes, his muse plucks the syringe from his trembling fingers and casts it poetically into the sea. She would love to slap him hard, repeatedly, and crush his artistic spirit, but she is blessed with mercy, the charming affliction of the imaginary friend. So she whispers a tonic, and up he springs, and the workshop dissolves ecstatically, impregnated with a masterpiece. Two Monday mornings later, Father receives an invitation to a gallery, where his son will be exhibiting his new work. Father buys a new suit and tells everybody. The day arrives. The air is thick with canape and analysis. Father makes his way through the moneyed crowd, every inch the proud benefactor rendered as gliding philanthropic swan. He navigates the hexagonal rooms of the adaptive exhibitional space, looking for his son, an eagerly twittering entourage in tow. He accepts a glass of champagne, steps through, and sees the boy kneeling before a primitive marmite and plasterboard approximation of a uterus, his face frozen in a silent howl. It's utterly catastrophic, comments an onlooker, gesturing towards the piece which has by far the biggest audience in the place. In a good way, of course, as an allegory for womanhood within the choking, sweaty grip of patriarchy? Such sweet disaster. Of course, her companion replies. He gestures at the boy on the floor. He looks like I feel. So moved, so very moved. Oh no, says the woman. He made that unutterable piece of shit in the other room. They installed it purely for juxtapositional purposes, the curator told me. Father backs quietly out of the room, making a mental note to cancel the standing order. And miles away, giggling, the muse prepares to inspire a younger, more attractive artist.
That just tickled me so much. So a reminder to everyone that Steph thrives on this stuff. So do I. Send him your poem title suggestions. Who knows? Next week, he might have taken your words on a wondrous fancy. So you can either do that through the Burst website contact page. If you just leave us your name and the title and the show, just so you don't confuse the Burst bunnies. You can go on the Burst Facebook page or on Steph Mo Words, which is his Facebook page. Steph is spelt S-T-E-F and Mo M-O. So, the second and last of my wintry stuff now, the stuff that we can no longer play out at this point because it looks as though it may be getting warmer. I definitely am jinxing that. I don't want to add too much more of an intro other than it's been one of my favourite songs to busk, especially when the streets are totally empty. This is Hinge of the Year.
Night out on the tiles as the nightclub spill onto the street. There's vodka and wine and there's blood in the gutters. The drunkards, they mutter unsteady on their feet. Wouldn't it be fine to climb up on the roof? See the lights of the city spread out like a galaxy. And with a little Dutch courage inside of me, I'll take a leap of faith in search of proof. Here I sway as the hinge of the year swings around. One sip from the hip flask just might bring the ground. No flight of fancy, for they've never been flown. Been hiding them under my coat all the winter, but lately how they've grown, and so have I. Shot up like a weed through the concrete. I'm sweeter than honey mead. That's what they tell me. I make them so heady, a little unsteady on their feet, until they run from me. Here I sway as the hinge of the year swings around. One sip from the hip flask just might bring the ground. Swirling lights clearer, might just top. stone-carved angel, I'm gristle and feather and bone. I won't be anyone's bird in a cage, no freak show on a stage, so leave me alone. I knew I was different ever since I hatched out, and I don't mean to stumble on rooftops and shout. But here I sway as the hinge of the year swings around. One sip from the hip flask just might bring the ground a little nearer, might make these swirling lights clearer, might just topple this fair as the hinge of the year swings around. I swear as the hinge of the year swings around, one sip from the hip flask just might bring the ground a little nearer, might make these swirling lights clearer, might just topple this fair as the hinge of the year swings around. I'll take my first footing and part with my old friend, the ground.
Wasn't that lovely? I'm going to start wrapping up the show now. I know, it feels like I've only just got here for me. Well, I've only just sort of settled down. Thank you all for being so patient and loving and kind. You just settled me. You've eased me down. And a massive thank you to Lauren as well.
That's all right. I can't help but feel it was mostly me that settled you down. But no, it's really the listeners and stuff.
But what have you been making? Can you tell everyone what you've been making?
No one can actually see me. And I don't really know much to say about the poetry. It's kind of like the sports show all over again. So I've just been sitting quietly doing a little cross stitch, which...
Yeah, yeah. A cross stitch of?
I don't want...
No. Come on.
Ugh. It's the whale falling out of the sky in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and there's a hell of a lot of words.
She's basically cross-stitching paragraphs and paragraphs.
329 words. Each letter is about 4 stitches each, and I'm going a little bit mental. I thought it would be funny when I came up with the idea, but yeah.
Foolish. Foolish. But it can be sold to a very high bid. So if you know anybody
who... No, I'm not going to sell it after this. It's mine. It's going to go under my bed somewhere, never to be looked at again. That's what's going to happen to it.
And on that despondent note, I'm going to play 2 lovely pieces from, Alabaster Plume, who's helped out so much on the show this week, shoving me in the direction of new people. I'm going to play a poem first, and then... one of his pieces of music that I have absolutely fallen in love with. So the poem is sort of based on the relationship between a man and his care worker. I'm not going to say anything more than that. And then I'm just going to go straight into the piece of music, and that will see us out. I hope you enjoy it. This is The Transaction by Alabaster de Plume.
Treat me as a recovering fool. Feed me meat. Let me eat, let me drool, take me to the day center, leave me there, take my hand, take my temperature, dry my hair. I have left you behind, you were too slow, there's not enough here for me. If you could, you would want to know, but you don't. You're on a street, in a line, I am not. I haven't time, I'm flying, and so there, and that is salt, and this is a chair, and I am a wolf, a smudge in black, a heart attack, a kid on crack, a flag of a smokestack, I am your gums, your fingernails, give that air to me, if you cannot eat it, I fucking can. Watch me and stay where you are. Cook me my dinner. Drive me my car. I'm in the front. You count the cost. You're too slow for me now. I'm lost. I am the stage. I am the steady wage. Give me a new jumper. I don't like the snow. Who will be staying tomorrow? Give me the glass. Give me the sea. Give me a cup of tea. I don't want to brush my teeth. I don't want to be framed in grief. I don't want a yellow bowl. I don't want to live in a hole. Go away, everything. I'll do it first. I'll be the subject. Do your worst. Too late for you. I'm the best one. I've got my rocket ready and I've gone. It's all a mess. Now let it be yours. Ask me as much as you wish what it's for. I have a rocket. You have a sponge. You have the Dettol and the keys. I can have breakfast. You have the books. We'll let all the secrets be. You can keep looking. If it means I can laugh, we'll call the confusion glee. You get a wage, a vocation, a title. And if I can have freedom, then you can have me.
Thank you.
That was Alabaster de Plume with Visit Croatia. Good night, everyone. Tune in again next time, hopefully 9 next Thursday. Enjoy your evenings.